Did you know on average that school districts spend $18,000 per year per teacher on professional development? Yet student outcomes have remained stagnant, and teachers frequently report that their PD is not relevant, effective, and not connected to the daily realities of the classroom. Well, guess what? The solution is KickUp, the sponsor of today's show, and they can help you improve your professional development with their easy-to-use platform. Learn more at kickup.co. Today's podcast is also brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, and yes, I do use their service. With such a busy schedule, where do you go for world-class professional development? Especially if you're on a shoestring budget, or if you'd rather go to the beach or relax on your couch rather than travel to some conference. Well, I've got some great news for you. Jethro Jones and I have created an online event called the Transformative Leadership Summit, which will include 40 videos and over 20 hours of content from top education and leadership experts on August 1st. And it gets better. It's absolutely free to register and attend this online event. Over 2 weeks, you will be inspired and challenged to become a better leader. Again, it's all yours for free. Register at betterleadersbetterschools.com/transform.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
Today, my guest is my friend and awesome leader, Emily Drake, the CEO of Flank 5 Academy, located in Chicago, Illinois. Flank 5 is a personal incubator that helps you unlock your potential, change careers, or become self-employed. Graduates start consulting practices, open restaurants, change industries, and restructure their current employment situation. In this episode, you'll learn how to be a part of the solution, micro movements and celebration, the question we should ask ourselves, which is what could be, and how to get out of the perfectionist box. I'm not going to edit that because I'm not a perfectionist. Thanks again for listening. Enjoy the show. So I'm so excited to be here with Emily Drake, and I told her I'm done with bios. They're boring to me. And I got a whopper of a question, I think. So, Emily, who are you and why are you here?
Who am I as kind of the woman, the leader, Emily Drake, functioning in this world? And it is a challenging question that gets at what we talk a lot about at in the career development space, which is like, you know, purpose and identity. So who am I? I am a person who is devoted to the belief that community is required to do anything in life. So I am a community builder. I am an evangelist for the power of possibility thinking. I am someone who believes that everyone deserves to be fulfilled and find fulfillment. And I'm here to provide pathways to get to those things. I mean, I'm here to ultimately have people feel a little bit of kindness toward themselves and hopefully then to others. And my vehicle for doing that is to think about the world of work, how we move in work, how we function in our careers, and asking us really to think about being part of the solution to a problem that's way bigger than us, which helps us all feel like we've got a lot of purpose in our lives. So I'm a steward for that message, and I'm here to help others find it and walk with them in their own journeys. I don't think anyone can do anything related to career success solo. Don't fly solo, have a co-pilot. So that's the answer, I think.
You are a podcast pro already, Emily. And with answers as delicious as that, like I didn't even need to prepare. I mean, Boom. You set me up perfectly.
Yeah.
Boom. I really want to hear, I love this idea of the power of possibility. So can you unpack that a little bit and tell us why it's important? How do you develop it? What does that mean to you, really?
Totally. Being a human being myself, I have a lot of stories that I tell myself about what is available to me. And a lot of those stories come from, I mean, when I was itty bitty Emily, right? Like a lot of it originates in childhood. So for example, you know, the belief that the outcome of something is up to me. or the belief that when I was in my first career in public relations, that I would never be able to do anything else and had to keep climbing that ladder. And it's only through a lot of what I would call career trauma and work on myself with other people holding up mirrors for me that I could see that there were other options besides the limited options that I can come up with a pad of paper and a pen. And so one of the things that I have struggled with myself, and the reason I'm so passionate about the work that I do today, is that we are just inherently as human beings unable to see all of the possibilities available to us if we stay in isolation. It's just like fundamentally impossible. No amount of books, and there's great books out there, believe me, no amount of books that we read, no amount of journaling that we do, no amount of individual therapy that we go to can get us to a place where we're really sort of fully ourselves. We need other people. We need teams of people. We need a lot of support. And this is coming from someone who still has to remind myself every day not to shoulder everything all the time. So the power of possibility is really born out of involving other people in our process. And for me specifically, the career process.
That's good. And it reminds me of a book I've talked about before on the podcast called The Enemies of Excellence. We'll link it up in the show notes. Have you read it?
I have not. I'm writing it down.
Yeah, I think I might share it with you before. I feel like I tell everybody I meet, like, check out this book. It's so good. And the author is Greg Salciccioli.
Yeah.
Again, check out the show notes because that's a mouthful. But like you said, we don't fly solo. And in The Enemies of Excellence, he really unpacks, like, when you try to do things in isolation, bad things happen. And it's really through the power of community where we can get, like you said, the mirrors shown on us. We can really open up the power of the possibilities much more so than we can in a contemplative, me and my moleskin journal, because I'm super cool and a really nice ink pen or possibly a pencil.
Totally. Well, I was just going to say, I am no way saying don't journal. Like, I'm a firm believer in looking within, but we got to be careful with that because, you know, I think the journal doesn't talk back, right?
Yeah.
So it's really a one-way conversation. And I'm also a fan of prayer, of meditation, anything that sort of gets us back to the present, gets us back to focus. But we ultimately, and this is tough. I also want to honor, like, involving other people in our process is not easy work. So, you know, I have some thoughts on, like, how you can do that, which are more prescriptive, but it's, you know, it's really fundamentally about finding your tribe, finding your people, and getting others involved however you can. And there's all sorts of resources, including those with Flank 5, that can kind of facilitate that. But, you know, the journal is great. It's good to take stock of what we learn on any given day. And, you know, hashtag always be learning. Like, you have to make sure, you know, you're challenging yourself, and it can't stop there.
So if I was listening correctly, let me reframe this back to you.
Yeah.
The title of the podcast shouldn't be Stop Journaling by Emily Drake.
That's right.
How do you involve people in the process?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. There's, you know, specifically with career, there's a couple obvious formats that people find for support. One is what I would call kind of the traditional coach community. And that's, you know, if you Google career coaching and then any city on the planet, you'll gain access to what I would call, you know, kind of the professional community that's available to you. There's also, in some instances, wherever you went to school, if you were privileged enough to get a college degree and even an advanced degree, you know, there are great opportunities with alumni organizations and institutions of higher education to begin to start, you know, getting back in touch with people who you have something in common with. And that's really what we're talking about, is, you know, thinking about, okay, who else has done what I've done? Who else has been where I've been? Who else is into what I'm into? And that's really where community begins. Ultimately, of course, we want a very diverse and colorful community surrounding us. So we have access to all different viewpoints. But yeah, I would say alumni networks of higher education institutions. And then also, you know, there are, here in Chicago, there's a couple great resources. One that I used to be a leader at, The Career Transition Center is a more like nonprofit focus that really helps people come into a community and work with a coach and get programming and access to some resources for, you know, doing some of the harder work of career, which is not resumes and not cover letters, but really like what you led with. Who am I and why am I here? And those are really big questions. And, you know, the work that we do at Flank 5 Academy is grounded in those questions too. And we're really passionate about creating a space. And that's really what I sort of consider myself to be. I'm a shepherd and also like a space creator for people to come together and get their goals accomplished, but do it in community, not by ourselves. You know, this whole bootstrap individualization, like it's not the right way to go about it. And we know this. So yeah, there's a few different options, but it really starts with kind of like, what am I already into and who else is doing it? How can I be in partnership or in kinship with them? And then, you know, reaching through the fear to ask like, how can I get connected to you? And believe me, when I say reach through the fear, I mean, this is a process that isn't overnight for some people. It can take a lot of support and a lot of willingness. And so ultimately, if you don't have the willingness, this isn't going to happen for you. But, you know, I think as much as you can, finding the gumption within you and finding the support, however you can get it to get started. Once you get started, this thing is on a roll for most people, but it's hard to start. And I want to make sure that I honor that for folks.
Definitely can be a scary place, the launching point, right?
Yeah.
So are there any tips there? Like, how do you get started? How do you fight through that fear to say, hey, I really want to connect with you, learn from you, learn with you, be on this journey together? What has served you well in your experience? And are we talking face-to-face, looking me in the eye, shaking my hand? Is it virtual over Twitter, LinkedIn?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think?
I think it's a, you know, it's a great question. And I'm a big fan of thinking about just starting where you're at. Like, what is a micro movement you can make that you can celebrate? And if that means inviting someone to connect on LinkedIn, that you, it's a bit of a stretch. Maybe you don't, maybe it's not a second degree. Maybe it's a third degree. And you just think this person is kind of a thought leader and cool. And you hit send and hit submit. If that's big for you, then that's a step toward getting connected. I think in person makes the most impact and also holds us the best when things are challenging. And the in-person celebrations, like nothing beats them. So I really would ask and invite folks to think about like, who can I connect on an in-person basis? Who can I connect with to get some meaningful support, and then pepper in the virtual piece? But you and I were talking before you pressed record about, you know, what's available online. And one of the things that I love about virtual communities, and there's a great podcast called Job Logs that really drove this home for me a couple weeks ago. It's run by two women, millennial women, African-American women, who are creating like a group chat atmosphere on their podcast for young women millennials who are struggling in the workplace to be seen, to be heard, to be promoted. And they really drove home for me something that I didn't really consider as a late 30s white female in a leadership position, which is that, you know, if you don't find the community that you need at work or in the town that you live, that online is a great place to get engaged and to, you know, maybe start with a virtual connection or an email and move into a phone call or move into, you know, hey, I'm coming to New York. Can I see you? You know, so like starting where you are, if virtual is a little easier for you, that's great. But remember that this isn't a comfortable process. So my ask of all of my clients and the people I work with is that you should feel a little uncomfortable when you're doing this work. It's not meant to be super breezy easy. So know that if you're feeling that, that's right. Like you're doing something right. And I promise you that once you do it, you'll feel good about taking that action. This is a cumulative process. So the first one's the hardest, the first outreach, the first ask for coffee, the first, you know, I'm just curious about who you are. Would you be willing to talk to me for 15 minutes? It's hard, but it gets easier. So just even doing it once is a huge achievement for folks who are kind of like, oh, I really can't. And, you know, I could go on about that, but I want to make sure people know that this is tough work and it's not natural for all of us, most of us, actually.
It's so wise. I really love the idea of micro movements and then those celebrations. Love that you acknowledge that it is very challenging to do that initial ask. And I think maybe as a tip too, I want the listeners, the better leaders, to maybe generate a list of 10, 20, 50 influencers you want to be around and get connected to, and then start reaching out, Twitter, LinkedIn, if they're not local. In addition to saying, I'd love to learn from you and get connected and that sort of thing, think about how to add value to the relationship. How can you give? And I'm speaking from a place of, I guess, deficiency. In many ways, I'm still pretty selfish, but over the last 6 to 8 months, I've really have been locked into this idea of give to give, not give to get. And it's so not natural to me. So, check out Emily's videos or read some of her blog posts and ask some questions, in relation to that content. Or if you have an idea of how it could be improved or something they may have missed or whatever, those are things you can do easily to add value to the relationship. And now you see that you're making this person's life even better. They're going to want to be connected to you. So that might be a good tip for everybody. Emily, how do you like to celebrate?
That's a great, I love to celebrate. I think celebrating is best with doing something new. So I like to celebrate and encourage by doing something for the first time. And I think as a 36-year-old woman moving in the world, like, there's actually a ton of stuff I've never done. So if that means something like going horseback riding or, trying a new restaurant or just buying a different beer that I've never had before, like, I thrive and reward myself through having experiences and accessing new things. And, I would say like reading a new book, but that's not a real celebration. It really takes like bringing people together and doing something new together and being kids in some way. I think kids are really great at trying stuff without trepidation, or maybe a little bit, but with a little coaxing, they give it a whirl to try it. And I really like the idea of play. I love celebrating by making a meal and bringing people together to eat together. I love bringing to and celebrating with disparate groups of people. So, next Thursday, my husband and I are hosting a group of folks from our church at our home. And, they're people who are brand new and people who have been there a while. And like that to me is the ultimate way to celebrate, just bringing people together and sharing in my joy and lightness and hopefully having that be inspiring to other people. And believe me, I'm not happy all the time, but when I'm celebrating, I am. And so I think it's important to do. We have to celebrate. And sometimes you have to, I work with a lot of clients who are like, God, I just want to get started with my career change. I feel like I'm stuck and I'm unfulfilled. And I delight in saying, let's celebrate that you're even with me right now saying that that's what you want to do. Like, you have already taken steps 1 through 3 by reaching through the fear and saying, Emily, I need help. Like, hallelujah, you've started. You were thinking like you need to start. You already have. So I really believe in the power of celebrating, not just like when you land the job, not just when you quit the job. Those are really obvious things. But along the way, just like micro steps toward connecting with other people. I mean, micro celebrations, there's no reason not to.
So good. We talked in the pre-chat about this meetup that I had, and this episode is airing actually in July. And the meetup was in what month are we in? We're in March. But what I want to say is that power of decision making, it's not, you want to become a principal or whatever. It's not when you get the job that, you've made movement toward it, or when you put your application in, as I did recently for Chicago Public Schools. The decision is 6 months, a year ago, 2 years ago, when you had the thought, I would like to be a principal. Or I would like to do this. And this guy, Butch Bella, he had a talk about it. And basically, it's not the what, it's not the where, it's not the how that matters. It's the when. And he just went through all these historical events and just talked about when, JFK said we were going to the moon. that's when we actually went to the moon, because all the focus, the vision, right? And I think great leaders do this. They talk about where we're at now, and we try to get a little bit of maybe make it a little uncomfortable or frustrating where we're at, because we could do more, and then show people where you're going. And Bill Hybels is very famous for calling that the here to there. So it's when you make that decision. Love what you're talking about there, Emily. I want to hear.
Yep.
I want to hear about Flank 5 Academy.
Absolutely.
I want to hear about the collective. Tell me the story of how you got connected to this group and inspire us. Where are you going? Where are you taking it?
Yeah, I was at a place, I think, in my own career where I was kind of available to be inspired and to think of things differently. And that's after, you know, 5 or so years of really slogging along in my search. And, you know, I identify as a 4-time career changer. I identify as a Gen Xer. You know, I identify as someone who has, whether it's naive or not, a faith that if I am moving in my strengths and if I am working in service to others, so give to give, I love that, that all will be good. Now, that is great when it's at like the, you know, the big picture level. If you're talking about profit, net loss, and cash flow, not so great. So we'll get to that later, perhaps. But Flank came to me, like I said, at a time where I was kind of ready for challenge. And that's because I had done a lot of work individually and on my own psychology through, you know, community and everything else. So I think that that's just important to note, because being open to possibilities, being open to sort of what's put in front of you, and if that's someone standing in your doorway, like being open to that conversation, if it, you know, so there's a spirit of openness that where this really began. But I met my business partner and the founder of Flank 5, Todd Connor, at a panel discussion at the university I was working at the time. And I was serving in a function as an advisor, a career advisor, and counselor to our military connected students. So both folks who were in active duty, spouses, veterans who had left the military, and Todd is a Navy veteran and was on this panel. And my friend, our mutual friend, had said, "Emily, you have to go to this panel. There is a man on it that believes exactly what you believe." And I'm attracted to people who believe what I believe. I think that's natural. But there was also just this sense, as I was sitting in the audience and Todd was saying things like, you know, forget what you got C's on in school. You need to focus on what you're getting A's on and really just blow it out of the water. You know, things like that fulfillment takes effort. It's not easy. It's not meant to be, but you don't have to do it by yourself. And so I'm sitting in the audience and just thinking like, yeah, I got to meet this guy. So it started with two people talking about what we believe. And Todd had already kind of begun Flank 5 and invited me to participate in one of the programs as a means to say, hey, if you like what we're doing here, then maybe we work together, but why don't you go through it first? And so I had an opportunity to go through one of Flank 5's first iterations, and it's something we still do today, which was a cohort experience. And it was a group of 12 people over 10 weeks, naming goals, working on them together, reading books together on thought leadership, inviting in our resources to help each other get where we want to go, and also sort of serving ourselves at the same time. And that was in the fall of 2014, or spring of 2014, excuse me. So anyway, fast forward, I got a chance to do some facilitating with Todd. We did some great workshops, and Eric Connor, who was the co-founder of Flank 5, their brothers, got a chance to do some great workshops that were centered around things like branding and passion and purpose. And there was a lot of interest in our methodology, which is this marriage of psychology and business. So the marriage of self and inward introspection, and also like action and entrepreneurship and startup. And there is no one in Chicago that was really sort of creating space for this to happen among people who have achieved some level of success but want to achieve more, or who are stuck or unfulfilled. And that's such a, you know, I know in my own social sphere and in my own kind of experience moving in the world, as soon as I tell people what I do, they're like, oh my God, I need to talk to you. And it's, there's a lot of mythology about work and what it is and isn't. And ultimately, I think it's a personal decision, but I feel a lot of passion about, again, the power of possibility. So opening people up to what could be for them. So fast forward a little bit further, Todd and I, we got the opportunity to do some great work with Crane's Chicago Business. And because of that relationship and some of the programs that we've run for them, I really started thinking like, man, I could do this full time. Like, this is something that, you know, really charges me up. It's an entrepreneurial pursuit. It's a wind at my sails kind of experience. It's everything that I've worked for in my four career changes, every thread that's been woven through all of those different directions I've taken has been helping people see what's possible and encouraging the you know what out of them. Like, you can do it, and making sure that they have the hope and the inspiration along the way to get through the inevitable hardships of change. It is not easy. And so through that, I, you know, kind of had the courage to say, I'm quitting a job that is stable and has its own challenges. And this was back in December, January, and I'm going to be an entrepreneur. And, you know, eyes wide open and really getting this chance to think about, okay, if Todd and I are working on Flank 5 Academy and Eric's coming in and working with us, and we're all kind of doing this a little bit, what would happen if we were doing it a bit? Like, what if I was really able to devote all of my time and energy to this cause and this vision that I believe in? And it's been wild. It's been a couple of months. We've been able to launch a new program. So we run cohorts, as I mentioned. We'll start another one in the suburbs this summer, but we've launched a new program called The Collective. And The Collective is our best shot at offering a group experience for career exploration, career journeying, setting goals, having accountability on a weekly basis for people in Chicago. And we meet at 1871, which is where Flank 5 Academy is housed. 1871, for your listeners, is a startup incubator in the city, 200 plus startups in one space that are really sort of sharing resources, sharing knowledge, sharing joy, sharing sorrow, as we try and build these big ideas we have. And so The Collective is meant to be a place where you check in every week on where you're at with your goals. We do a really cool thing when we meet called Critical Question. And it's everybody's favorite part of the 2-hour session we have. And my dream, by the way, is to have these, you know, twice a day, every day across the country. But it's really meant to say, okay, this week, to move the needle on my career journey, my question is, and it can be anything from when I'm looking for my next job, I feel guilty about not being with my children. When I'm with my children, I feel guilty about not looking for my next job. Group, how have you dealt with this? What are some ideas for how I should deal with this discord? To all the way, we had someone on Tuesday night say, I'm resigning tomorrow, guys.
Wow.
I want to make sure that my boss and I have a really good relationship after leaving. I'm worried he's going to blow up at me. How would you handle it? Have you ever been in a situation? And then they turn around. I mean, we literally have them break eye contact and the whole group gets to workshop on their behalf. And the last part of that critical question piece is they get to say, hey, these were really interesting ideas, or this was not a good idea. In the next week, to move the needle for me, I'm going to do this and commit to the group. And then we meet again the following week. And so my goal is to really have this available on call, on demand, just like, you know, there's memberships for everything from gyms to, you know, paying your therapist every week to check in to, you know, making sure you go to your annual dental appointments. I mean, these are line items in our budget. And we really think the next wave is, you know, a line item for your career development. And what better way to sort of enter that process than with a group that gets it? And that's at a relatively accessible cost. So we're really excited about it. And we've been doing it for 3 weeks. And it's been a blast. We're at capacity. We'll be adding another session in April and then, you know, go from there. So more of that. And I would really love for us to be kind of like, you know, there's a Weight Watchers on lots of corners throughout the cities across the states. Like, why can't there be a Flank 5 collective in every city across every state? This is a conversation that we're not having enough of, and it's a great source of stress for people. So I'm really on a path of, you know, we need wellness, we need peace of mind, and we're not going to be able to do it alone. So come to the collective and get the support and the strategy, by the way, and structure that you really need to get where you want to go.
That is so inspiring. And I'm actually so worried that all the listeners, like 13,000 folks that have downloaded this podcast, like, I don't know, that about 9,000 principals just quit, which could be really great for them and bad for the schools. But
yeah.
Well, I love so much about the message, but really just, you know, taking control of your future and making those decisions, doing it in an environment where you are loved, you are supported within community. I mean, we're right back at that theme. And I also just want to honor you in front of all the listeners too. Like, they couldn't have picked a better leader for Flank 5 and the collective. Like, you have got it, whatever that it is, you have it. And it's just awesome to see in the short time you've been there how Flank 5 has grown and just the value that you offer people and the lives that are changed, the professions that are birthed, the careers, the, I don't know, the adventures, all that stuff because of the great work that you do. You're awesome, Emily.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm humbled by being able to, and I said this to the group Tuesday, to bear witness to people's process. I mean, it is that I get to be inspired on the regular is really, it's not lost on me. And it really is. And I said it at the front end. It's like, I create the space and it is a privilege to do that. The rest of it. And, you know, I do some facilitating, but the group is powerful and it's an honor. It's really a pleasure and a privilege to bring together such incredible people to, you know, to change themselves, right? Change their families, then change their blocks, the same goal. But it starts with an individual, right? And transforming individuals is where it begins. And then before you know it, we've got a better Chicago and we've got a better, I mean, I really believe that. So yeah, absolutely.
Let's pause here for a message from our sponsor. Today's show is sponsored by KickUp, a professional learning data analytics company that provides an easy to use platform, helping school leaders optimize their PD resources and efforts by soliciting and synthesizing teacher input on professional development needs. Creating an intuitive and simple dashboard so leaders can take immediate and informed action to support teachers, measuring and reporting the impact of the PD efforts over time. Schools, districts, and charter networks leverage KickUp's platform and consultative support to synthesize data so that all stakeholders, administrators, coaches, and teachers can monitor progress, identify meaningful professional learning actions, and demonstrate and share impact. Learn more at kickup.co. Leading a school may be the most difficult job in the world, but what if I could guarantee that you could accomplish so much more in 1 year than you've been able to in any years past? The secret is to stop leading in isolation and to do so in community. The solution is to join one of my education masterminds. We meet weekly for an hour and discuss leadership and solve complex problems. Text Better Mastermind, that's all one word, to 33444. That's Better Mastermind to 33444 and start your journey to your best year ever. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better, or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge 10 bucks a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better, or click the link in the show notes. Now, back to the show.
I got one more softball for you, and then I'm going to go hard at the follow-up question. So here's the easy one. Just be prepared for the hard one. What's been the biggest takeaway those, you said, 3 weeks that the collective's been going? What have you noticed?
What I've noticed is that there are so few spaces. So I asked the question of the group yesterday, Tuesday, about, you know, what are you feeling grateful for as you've been part of this process for a few weeks now? And I was really pretty taken aback by how people were grateful for having an environment that's non-judgmental and that's positive. And if you had asked me before we launched this program what people would say they're grateful for, I probably would have said that they got a great idea about how to implement a networking strategy that works, right? Like, I would have been at that level. But people fundamentally, and I forget this, I take for granted because I live in it every day and I create it and I thrive in it, that this is a special thing for people. And it's at a human level, not a tactical level, that people are finding such gratitude and such flourishing in. And so I've been really startled by that. And it reminds me not to take for granted. Absolutely, we need to have a methodology, we need to have a strategy, we need to have structure, but what really resonates for people is a non-judgmental, supportive space with people who are encouraging and positive, right? So we can be in community with people who are, you know, struggling and sort of like not willing to change. But it's really remarkable, and I know you get this having just come off of your trip, to be in community with people who are all about change, like all about it. And I take for granted living and moving in a community that's self-aware and kind of doing their work, quote unquote, that's what other people have, but it's not. And so that, I think after a few weeks, I get to sort of breathe into, wow, like having just this space is meaningful. And then I also get to help with strategy, structure, and making people really challenge themselves. But the space is what's really needed and what's really important.
Here it is, the tough one. I want you to be authentic with us and describe what has been your worst leadership mistake and what did you learn from it?
Yeah. My biggest mistake was not taking a seat at the table when that was expected of me. And I had to think about this question because I was actually asked it a couple of weeks ago by someone who's a mentee of mine. And I have to tell you something, and this is in authenticity and total honesty. I have manufactured a life for myself up until now that was very small and very failure averse. So that is to say, I lived in a perfectionist box. And that's a very, very small world to live in. And it's not particularly, it's certainly not thriving. And I'm going to try not to have judgment about it because I have a lot of love for the former Emily too. But up until maybe really my Flank 5 experience, and I know that may be hokey now that it's the company that I run and co-partner with Todd, but I had opinions my whole career. I had viewpoints. I had a voice. I had a vision that was holistic and humanistic, even when I was working in PR. And I never took my seat at the table to voice my concerns. And I think what happened was I turned inward on that and I built up a lot of resentment and my health suffered, my marriage suffered. I mean, there was a lot of consequences, but I was safe. You know, things stayed the same. I was stable. I collected a paycheck. Everything was, you know, on the outside, right? Like the job looks great. The marriage, you know, like everything. But I really, because I was withholding, because I wasn't showing up for myself, I really, really feel like that was a huge mistake for me. And stepping into this role now, where the stakes of, you know, coasting and playing it safe are pretty colorful and pretty obvious and pretty grand, I feel a new sense of urgency to use my voice. And it's hard. I mean, and I think it's hard for a lot of leaders to sort of step up and say what they believe and take that risk and, you know, fail fast and move on, like really apply those startup culture principles. Very, very challenging for me. But part of the reason that I left a stable job where I was a star and made this move was so that I could fail. And I, you know, mark my words, like call me in a year and be like, do you still want to fail? Because after I've done it enough, I might be like, enough mercy. But I think I know enough to know that when I am, you know, riding off into the sunset in my career at like age 80, probably, that I want to know that I really stepped out. And I don't want to live a safe life, and I don't want other people to either. So there's a level of like, yeah, leadership mistake. I mean, fundamentally, like not modeling for other people, that we're all just here to learn. We're not here to like perform and get a good grade. And I really am trying to do that differently now.
That's awesome. And thank you for being honest with us too. And again, I really appreciate you showing up, not just for the podcast, but I think the authenticity, the integrity of what you do easily comes through in your voice, and the better leaders are just very thankful for that. So Emily, if you're going to create a class in our schools that you don't think exist right now that you know of, what would be the class that you would create?
That's a great, oh, I love that. I'd love to see a class called How to Tell Your Story. And what I find most people, adults, and I had a good stint working with 18 to 24 year olds. So just right out of high school, kind of coming into the world of work and really, you know, struggling to get a job because, you know, jobs that are entry level and minimum wage and available are hard to find sometimes. But this idea of, you know, I'm going to come back to the challenge you issued at the front end of the episode of like, who are you and why are you here?
Yeah.
That kind of work, if we can start that earlier, would be phenomenal. So just what's your story? Tell it, what's your narrative? Who are you? What do you love? What do you like? What do you hate? You know, sort of doing some of that diagnostic to then be able to, when someone does ask you that question, because it'll happen. I mean, usually it's a lazy interview question called tell me about yourself, which I hate. I think it's lazy. But, you know, I think being able to how to tell your story, and there's a way to do it. And it begins with a lot of real introspection, but it's also, you know, a chance for kids to kind of come together and listen to each other's stories, reflect back what they heard, maybe give some feedback. Like, I don't really get it. I feel like you weren't really being honest there. I mean, there's a way to be honest and authentic that isn't, you know, isn't too vulnerable and isn't too salesy, right? So telling your story, who are you? Why are you here? You know, what are you doing? What do you care about? What's the problem that it will take more than your lifetime to solve that you want to help solve? And I think kids have a real point of view and an opinion on that. Based on the limited research I've done, there's some of the most passionate humans on the planet. So that, and the other thing I thought about when I was thinking, like just in my own education, like moving from reflection to action. So this idea of like, I wonder what it would be like had I thought about the process of journaling when I was a kid and like thinking about, you know, my feelings and what I learned over the day, and just kind of, I'm even thinking like, even as a teenager, you know, had I been using it as a tool to like identify patterns and then maybe take action in my life, I think it could have been a really cool exercise. But the how to tell your stories is something I think would be really helpful, especially in the world of work and in the world of just connecting with other human beings to get farther faster, you know? So yeah, I'd like to actually attend that class. So if any of your leaders actually do something like that, call me. I'll be a guest speaker. I'll come audit your class. Even if it's at a third grade, I'll do it. Cause I would love to, I mean, it's always good practice to get in touch with who we are.
Yeah. That'd be an incredible class. Just mastering our own stories, being able to articulate that to, you know, your audience.
Yeah.
And I think it's important too, because we learn best through stories, you know?
Yeah.
Well, here's all the things I've accomplished and all these data points and boring stuff, but to bring me there with you on that journey to experience what you experienced, to really understand who you are at the core, I mean, this is like getting very philosophical, but it's like the why you exist type question. And people connect with that. Your heart connects, right? It's just, you're drawn in. So brilliant answer. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Love it. So tell me a story, though, is a terrible interview question, or tell me about yourself. Do you have like maybe one or two great interview questions? I know we want them to be aligned to the values of our organization, that sort of thing at our school. But what are some great interview questions you've heard over the years or you've used yourself?
Yeah. I really like the question, tell me what you were doing last time you lost track of time, or tell me what you were doing, or when's the last time you did something for the first time. I like to hire and be around and collaborate with people who are really curious. So that helps me get at curiosity. I think there's a few different ways you could do it, but when was the last time you did something for the first time? Now, if the answer is like, right, like it's hard, and I always allow for like, take your time, think about it. Because people, you know, in interview settings, it's like you want to have something like rapid fire, and that's not how we move and communicate. So it's okay to take your time in answering it. But I love that question. And it often evokes a lot of other questions like, you know, tell me, what did you learn from doing it for the first time? You know, what do you think's next for you? So I like to really get at people's curiosity and their worldview. And I think that, you know, I have to be careful sometimes when I'm interviewing people because I'm also a therapist. And so it's not that I would ever ask anything inappropriate, but I mean, I would love to hear, like, what are you grateful for? What have you loved about your week so far? What's been challenging for you? What are you afraid of? You know, I think the more someone can show a little bit of emotional intelligence and who they are in an interview, the better they're going to be on my team with my leaders. I mean, it's important to connect to other people. So those are the questions that are coming to mind right now. You know, I also really like to just hear what people are excited about. So what is something, you know, one way to ask that is, what is your passion? I don't like that question either, because I think passion, and I do a lot of speaking on this, but passion is a very polarizing word, especially if you don't know the answer. People tend to feel a lot of shame about that. They've avoided thinking about it. They've potentially, you know, it's got a very sort of powerful feel. If you ever Google the word passion and look at the first two definitions, you'll see why. I mean, it's everything from evoking, you know, Christ to, you know, a really sort of very strong, unmanageable emotion. So passion is
strong and barely controllable emotion.
There you go. Yeah. And that, like, what could be scarier than that for a lot of people? So I think what I like to ask is, like, what are you really excited about? And not just about this job, but in the world, in your community, in your family, like, what is something you're really looking forward to and why? And that, to me, I like working with people who have some stuff on the horizon. They're visioning, they're looking forward, you know. And then my last question that I love to ask is, how do you take care of yourself? This is a high stress job. There's a lot of demands on our lives. You're a really important person to yourself and to me. What do you do to kind of make sure that you're okay? You know, I could go on that road, but those are some questions I think that are a little less, like, you know, hard skills based, which, you know, I'm also a believer, like, when you're on the job, and if you have curiosity, and if you have empathy, and if you have a drive, you can learn all that stuff. But I really want to make sure that you care about yourself so you can care for other people. I mean, that's important to me. So
yeah, you got to be filled up to be able to give.
Yep.
How many of those questions do you think I'm going to be asked during my principal process?
I'm going to say approximately plus or minus zero. But I hope you get asked them. I hope you get asked them. And you should ask them of your interviewer too.
I think I will. It could show my emotional intelligence, or within, I don't know how much I want to say on this podcast based on who potentially listens, but I wonder how uncomfortable the interview could potentially get by showing that level of awareness in a space where it might not exist as much as I would like it. I think that's the best way I could answer it. But that's originally why I asked you the question, so I wouldn't have to answer it myself.
I love it.
So we're wrapping up. I just got two more questions for you. What's a book that every principal you think should read right now?
Do you have any idea what I'm going to say? Like, if you had to guess. No. Okay.
No. I mean, yeah. I have a couple ideas of what you use in the collective based on what Erica's gone through. But
March with the collective, we read a different book every month. So I'm going to recommend two.
Yes.
One is Mindset, which I know you love and I know you've read and have some familiarity with. Mindset, The New Psychology of Success by Carol Dweck. The reason I love Mindset is there is the way she chunks the book out. She actually addresses everything from parenting to business to school and relationships, and talks about fixed mindset and growth mindset. And this is so prevalent. I mean, I just bring myself back to being 8-year-old Emily and how I got so locked into wanting to look smart and having then the tendency to avoid challenges, give up easily. I mean, I'm sure in the educational community, you see kids like this all the time who have this limitation because it's about the outcome.
Yeah.
They're afraid of criticism versus a growth mindset, which, leads to really like a desire to learn. And if it's all about learning, and I think it is, I think that's what life is all about, then you really begin to embrace challenges. And for me, being able to see effort, like putting in really hard work as the path to mastery versus like something to avoid. Like there is an adage, if it's really hard, that you just don't do it. Like things should be easy. They should just come to you, like whatever's natural to you. And I think for a lot of us, like when things get tough, it's like a sign to stop. It's like when we feel afraid, it's a sign not to do it. And I would just invite, all of us to think about pushing through that a bit. Punchline, right? Mm-hmm. It's easier if you're not alone. So like that's where the community piece comes in, but Mindset's phenomenal. So that's a great book. And it does a lot about talking about kids and kids in school and, grades and also just having, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So it's a great book. And I use it a lot in all the leadership programming I do, all the career programming we do. So that's a great book. The other book, and this is one that I'm just starting, but I'm comfortable giving a recommendation because I think Adam Grant is bananas. He's so great.
Oh, yeah.
Give and Take. So back to your give to give, this idea. And I think Seth Godin was on a Zig Ziglar podcast a couple of weeks ago and talked about the idea of generosity being what builds trust.
Hmm.
That if you give without expecting anything in return, people are sort of dazzled by it. And it really goes a long way to build relationships and ultimately build, if you want to talk about it, like build income. So there's a lot that's in that book too, but I'm just starting it. So by July, I should be finished.
No, absolutely.
But that's one. I know enough about Adam Grant, who's just a great, great brain in the space of fulfillment, that it'll be a good one.
No, that'd be an awesome one, and I can vouch for the book. I haven't read it, but the reason I can vouch for it is I've seen Adam Grant speak, really exploring that topic. So the two things I want to talk to better leaders. One, go to the Global Leadership Summit, and Emily, you need to go too. It's right in your backyard. Willow Chicago hosts it every year, and Adam Grant was a speaker there last year.
Oh, wow.
Melinda Gates is going to speak at this one coming up, and a whole bunch of just other rock stars that you want to learn from. Pat Lencioni, if you know him, from The Advantage and Getting Naked and all those good books. He's going to be speaking, and all sorts of incredible leaders. So listeners, go to the Global Leadership Summit. Link will be in the show notes. And the second point, not going to remember because I can't do that as a male. I say I have a couple points. And then, I looked at the audio is working correctly and that your name says Emily Drake. And we've been recording for 52 minutes. I don't know what I was going to say. It was going to be a good one. But unfortunately, I'll think about it in about 20 minutes. So let's just move to the last question, which is you're moving to a deserted island. Your family's already coming, so you don't have to worry about them. Who would be the three people that you would bring to a deserted island?
That's a great interview question. You should ask your interviewer that. Barack and Michelle Obama. For sure. I mean, I
nice.
That's
so. Two, is that counting as two people? Or is
well,
that
no,
like
I think
one?
There are two people. Okay. But okay, I have so okay. many questions. And I also just feel like we, you know, we would make some instruments out of, you know, some really crazy stuff on the island. We'd have fun. We could also just like, I mean, I just have so many questions, Daniel.
Yeah.
And the other person, I don't really have someone specific. I wonder if this is permissible. So I'm going to submit it and you can challenge me. But like okay. a spiritual leader, like a guru, a yogi, a meditation expert, like someone who's going to kind of get us present every day.
Yeah.
Because I need community in that. I'm not very self-disciplined around it. And I think like what better place to do some connecting with, you know, the universe than on a deserted island. So some sort of spiritual teacher I think would be more than welcome, especially with, you know, me and Mark, the Obamas, you know, my mom, his folks, like, I think that'd be a pretty great experience.
Emily, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, best way to get a hold of me is through flank5academy.com. My email is emily@flank5academy.com. Again, the number five. Parting words, I would say there is a lot that is possible if you invite others in on your process. And fear, folks, is information. That's all it is. We are collecting data, we are learning, and we're making intentional decisions by doing that. So just because you're afraid, and I'm afraid too, I'm raising my hand over here, plenty of fear going on, doesn't mean we don't do it, not anymore. So take on the challenge and invite other people in. And please reach out to me if there's any way I can be of service. I'm happy to do it.
Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Emily. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Emily in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up and you'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Most mobile phones, you can tap the cover art and the show notes page will magically appear. Emily, thank you for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.